I'd like to read a very, very well-known passage of Scripture, one that perhaps most people will know of by heart, found in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. As I said, I probably think most of us will know this passage off by heart. It's one that you'll see on the backs of car bumpers, and it's probably one of the most well-known passages in the whole of Scripture. Some people have called it the greatest gospel verse in the whole Bible. But it's a verse that contains so much truth and so much depth to it that we perhaps know it very well, and I perhaps know it very well, but I feel very underqualified when I'm coming to talk to you and preach on it. We've got to begin with, for God. The first two words of that verse, for God. And you know, God is the greatest source. These are God's glad tidings. It says that in Romans. God's glad tidings. And it's a good place to start, isn't it? When you're talking about the gospel, to start with God. God's glad tidings. And you know, this is a God that is interested in you tonight. You know, you can read passages in Scripture, maybe Genesis 1, where you read how God, in a single or a few words, brought into existence this very creation. He breathed life into you. And yet it's that same God that is interested in you and your soul tonight. You can read, I think it's in Isaiah 6, when Isaiah was brought before the throne and the glory that surrounded the Lord there, and how Isaiah couldn't stand before him, and the majesty and the power that was evident in that verse and those chapters. And yet it's that same God that is interested in your heart and your soul tonight. For God, and then we come on to so loved. This is the greatest heart. God's love is towards you tonight. For God so loved. You know, God has the greatest love in the entire universe. There's no love that is like God's love. There's no love that even becomes close to God's love. Our hearts, the Bible says, are desperately wicked. Jeremiah tells us that. And yet God's heart is towards you tonight in love. He says that despite all of our sin and all of our wrongdoings that we've done, God's heart is towards us tonight. God so loved. You know, perhaps we have a very strange view of God sometimes. Perhaps we think that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to somehow appease his anger towards us. But that's not the idea at all. God tonight is for you. God loves you. And it says so clearly in this verse, for God so loved. And then we get, for God so loved the world. The world, the greatest extent. That invitation couldn't be extended any wider than what it has been done so here. For God so loved the world. The Bible says that all have sinned. Every single person, me and every single person in this room tonight, has sinned. And that means that we've come under God's judgment, because God is a holy God and God cannot look upon sin. And yet, despite us all having sinned, God's remedy is there for all of us as well. We have all sinned, and yet God's love is towards all. He's extended his invitation of love tonight so that it encompasses the entire world. There's nobody that is outside the bounds of God's love. Nobody that has done so much wrong in their life that they cannot be included in God's glad tidings of grace tonight. You know, it's a very easy thing to think of, that God can't save you because you've done so much wrong in your life. But the Bible is full of people that you just have to turn to the New Testament. Think of the Apostle Paul, somebody that to all intents and purposes tried to wipe out the Christian faith, and yet God was able to save him. God is able to save you tonight, dear friend. No matter what you've done in your life, he's able to save you because of this wonderful love and his wonderful grace. It's a wonderful thing to think that nobody is too far away from God's love. For God so loved the world. And then we come on to that he gave. The greatest sacrifice that he gave. It's a remarkable thing to think that God wants to include you in his thoughts and in his blessings. And yet, as I said earlier, God is a holy God and a righteous God. And God can't just overlook the sins that you've done in your life. God can't just turn a blind eye to everything that you've said and thought. In fact, the Bible says that an account is being kept. Every idle word, every thought that you've ever done. And God can't just turn a blind eye to that. And yet he wants to bless you. And that's why he had to, that we come onto this part here, that he gave. This greatest sacrifice. God had to send his only son as a sacrifice for sin. Because without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there is no remission. We can't enter into God's blessing. We can't come near to God unless there's a righteous basis for God to come out towards us. And dear friend, tonight that has all been done in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's great moments. You can read about it in each one of the Gospels where the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross. And in those 3 hours of darkness, when the people around couldn't see what was going on, in those 3 hours of darkness, God poured out everything that he had against sin on his beloved son. So that God could come out towards us in blessing. You know, God desires us to come into his blessing tonight. God wants us to enjoy everything that he's got in store for us. And yet, as I said, he can't turn a blind eye to it. It had to be done on a righteous basis. And that righteous basis included the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. A sacrifice, a substitute for us here. That he gave his only begotten son. It's the greatest gift, his only son. He couldn't have given anything else. There could be nothing more that God could give. He gave his only begotten son. It's when you read these words here, you can't help but think of the tremendous love that God has for you, that he loves you so much that he would give his only son to die in your place. What a God it is. What a message we have tonight to preach. That this God is given the greatest gift of all. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable free gift, the Bible says. There was no greater gift than the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave absolutely everything. And on that cross, he was the Lord Jesus. We touched on a little bit in the reading today, how perfect he was. You see, the Lord Jesus had to be perfect in order to be that perfect sacrifice for God. As I keep saying, God's a holy God and a righteous God. And nothing short of perfection can come close to satisfying God's heart. That's why we can't even begin to think about entering into heaven in our own natural state. But the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in every way. Ephesians says it was a sweet-smelling savour. The delight God had in that sacrifice when the Lord Jesus was on that cross. A perfect, sinless sacrifice. And because of that, God is able to move out towards you tonight in blessing. You know, in some of the gospel accounts, it talks about the veil of the temple being rent from the top to the bottom. Beforehand, in the old Jewish system, only high priests could enter into the Holy of Holies, and it was a very closed-off affair. But in Christianity, it's completely new. God is able to come out towards you tonight, and we are able to enter in into that very into his very presence because of that perfect, sinless sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his only begotten Son. And then it says that whosoever believes on him. You know, all that love and all that grace, it requires a response from you tonight, dear friends, in the glad tidings. Whosoever believes on him. It says, I think it might be an Acts somewhere, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the response that we need tonight. That's the response that God requires from you tonight. Repentance towards him and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we don't or maybe I don't speak about repentance enough in the gospel. It's a vital part of the gospel. It's more than just saying sorry for all the things you've done. It's a complete turnaround. And then it's faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in what he's done. Faith in the person. And faith that you can say that he was on that cross, and he was on that cross, and he shed his blood for me. Whosoever believes in him. You know, it's a very individual matter, the gospel. It's not something that you're born into Christianity. It's not something that your parents can make you a Christian. It's a very individual matter. You know, I've just had a baby, and I would do anything in my power to make sure that she became a Christian. But it's not in my power. It's not in my hands. And I'm sure your parents tonight would do anything that they possibly could to make sure that your name is written down in the book of life. But they can't do anything about it. It's God's work, and it's an individual matter that you have to come to. You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour. It's not something that you're just born into. It's not hereditary. It's something that you come into on an individual matter. Whosoever believes on him. And dear friend, tonight, you need to make that transaction in your heart tonight. It's a matter between you and God. A matter entirely between you and God. And God might be speaking to you tonight. And it's your responsibility in the gospel tonight to make sure that you respond to that voice that might be calling you. Whosoever believes in him. And then we come to the last bit. May not perish. The greatest deliverance. There is a warning in the gospel. There is a solemn, very solemn side to the gospel. Because, dear friend, you might walk out of this room tonight and this might be the last time that you hear a gospel message. And if you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Bible is very clear about what happens. The Bible says that those people that were not found in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire. There's an eternal destiny for both believers and unbelievers. There's only two places that you go when you die. One, into the most amazing and beautiful and awesome city, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. A place where you will forever praise and worship God. Where you will know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll see him and you'll be like him. What a great hope a Christian has. And yet in this verse it says, whoever believes on him may not perish. And so those people that have not accepted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, those people that decided that the gospel wasn't for them, those people that walked out of this room tonight and decided that actually they'd rather just get on with life. And if that's the last and final word that you have in the gospel, then the Bible is very clear about where you're going to spend eternity. You might have spent the whole of your life trying to get away from God. And you know, hell is a place where people go and they realize in that moment that they need God more than any other time, and yet it's too late. Dear friend, there is a solemn warning in the gospel. There's an urgency to the message. But I don't want to scare people into it, because it's so much greater to see the attractiveness of the Saviour and the attractiveness of the hope that a Christian has than to try and scare people into accepting the gospel. That's not how it's done. And that's why we come on to this last bit here, but have life eternal. The greatest promise that we find in Scripture. What a wonderful thing it is to have life eternal. And God has promised that. And it's all on the basis of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's something that we can enjoy and enjoy right from the moment that you're saved. You can come into this life eternal. It's a tremendous thing. The greatest promise. God's personal guarantee. You know, you often hear people in life giving everybody, you know, give people their word. And people's word today isn't maybe as honest and as straightforward as it should be. Somebody gives you their word, you know, it's not exactly a written agreement. And yet God has said quite clearly that here, anybody that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will have life eternal. It's God's personal guarantee to all those who believe. And there's no going back on it. God cannot go back on his words. God is, that's an impossibility when it comes to God. And so if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you have not my guarantee, but God's guarantee that you will be, one day, you will be with him in heaven. You know, it's a tremendous thing. There's so many things in Christianity and that just burst forth with tremendous life. You can often get caught up with what you might have to give up if you become a Christian. And there are things, perhaps, that you have to give up. It might take a bit of time. But there's so much greater things to be there. So much greater things to be won. So much greater things to go in for. There's so much that God wants to give you tonight. And one of the things is, as I mentioned earlier, a great hope. You know, as a Christian, we have this fantastic hope that one day we'll see our Saviour face to face. We know, those of us who have believed, that one day he's coming back to collect all those that have trusted upon him. You know, one day, if you're saved, you're going to hear that great shout. And you're going to see your Saviour for the first time face to face. What a hope that is for the believer. What a tremendous hope that is. What a thing to look forward to. And dear friend, that is just one of the many, many things that God would love to offer you tonight in the gospel. Dear friend, this is a verse that perhaps we've read many, many times before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. Dear friend, I just pray that you are one of those people tonight that can come under that banner of saying, yes, I believe on him. There's no greater event in your life than the moment that you are saved. Dear friend, I pray that nobody may go out of this room tonight without first putting their faith and trust on that wonderful person and walking out of this room tonight with God's personal guarantee of eternal salvation. Dear friend, don't walk out this room without making that and this verse your own. For his name's sake. Amen.